This is the Norris Group's Real Estate Investor Radio Show, the award-winning show dedicated to thought leaders shaping the real estate industry and local experts revealing their insider tips to succeed in an ever-changing real estate market. Hosted by author, investor, and hard money lender, Bruce Norris.
Hi, thank you for joining us. My name is Bruce Norris, and once again, we are with Alex Serrato. Alex, welcome back.
Thank you.
What's been the process, first of all, for you finding lots? What is the typical way that you end up getting to buy a piece of dirt?
Well, it started with me looking at the multiple listing service, the MLS, just researching. If I found something interested, I'd actually take a drive and look at the land. Lately, I've been getting phone calls from agents informing me that they have a listing that they think I might be interested in.
Okay.
And so it's kind of getting a little bit easier because now I have three or four agents that feed me an inventory of land.
Okay. Have you ever done a mailer to landowners?
Once, very, very long time ago.
Okay.
And it worked. It actually worked. I think I sent probably like 30 mailers.
Okay.
And I got three or four calls. And I did buy one.
Okay.
I bought a fixer-upper.
I actually bought
a house. A guy owned a house.
I think that's funny. I guess you can get a fixer-upper lot too, but that's probably not too exciting. I've done those lot mailers, and the response rate is usually way higher, especially if it's in a bad time. So Quail Valley, actually, the lots that that I have, I had bought 20 of those in a mailer.
Wow.
One mailer. Of right. Like 200 people, I bought 20 building lots. Okay, what kind of warranty comes with a lot purchase?
Very little.
What kind of disclosures are required by a lot seller?
Very little.
Okay, that's my point.
Yes.
Okay, so we have investors that are going to listen to this and sound like a great idea, and they're going to go run and buy a piece of dirt, and it'll be maybe completely worthless. It can happen.
Right. Yeah. You definitely need to know what's going on.
So when you first go look at a lot, I mean, it's sort of like you're looking, first of all, to eliminate it completely for a very specific set of problems. So what would be some of those problems where you go, no, it's just not.
Yes. You look at your pros and cons. You're looking for utility tie-ins to begin with. Do you have electricity that's nearby? Is it overhead or is it underground? Are you in a propane area or do you have gas?
Would you ever consider if it was propane?
I've not dealt with that, but okay. I know a builder that does, and he seems to be okay with it, but I heard that it costs him like $6,000 or $8,000 for the propane.
But you also eliminate a big crowd of buyers, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. There's people that just don't like that.
Yeah, of course.
Plus, I think it's expensive to refill the tank every often, like $4 or $6 a gallon.
Okay.
But at any rate, so that yes, you're looking for utilities. That's your main concern. You're looking for a fire hydrant. Where is your closest fire hydrant? You're supposed to be within 600 feet of a fire hydrant. And
so if you build a house, they'll just move one closer.
Yes, they'll move it for you when you write them a check.
Okay.
That goes well. After you write your check, they'll move one within the distance required. Are you on septic or do you have sewer? All those utilities are very important. If you're at the county rural area, does the land perk? You have to go to percolation. You have to get somebody to go out there and drill and do the soil testing as well.
Now, what's interesting about the lots that I have in Quail Valley, they once passed the perk test, but they changed the test.
Okay.
And now they don't.
They don't meet the new requirements. Yeah.
No.
And that's, again, conditions are changing and the departments will adapt and have stricter rules. And
why don't you guys tell everybody who doesn't know what PERC is? What is that?
Yeah.
Percolation test? Percolation.
What does that mean?
Well, go ahead. You know better than I do.
Okay. So in order for a percolation test is when you have a septic system and you have a leach line that deals with your secondary water waste. And what's supposed to happen is that half of it evaporates and half of it goes down to the ground. And so if your dirt doesn't allow for seepage, then you'll create a mess because it'll flood.
And can it seep too quickly?
Yeah, that as well.
That's yes, the other. Yeah, then yeah. You have contaminated
balance,
water.
Yes,
so it has to be a balance.
It goes into the groundwater.
It goes into the groundwater. Then you're contaminating the neighborhood.
So what happens when something changes from perking to not perking? You just own a
piece of the earth that holds the rest of it together. That's about it.
Grow Christmas trees, great.
There you go. Yes,
you have the greenest grass ever, and you have to keep on cutting it. there isn't much. Well, you probably know that are there solutions to a lot that won't perk? Is there some fancy stuff you can do?
There are different sewage methods, and I deal with AMPAC, Dave Ballinger.
Okay.
I think you might know him. He's very good and very creative, and he's told me that he can make any septic system work.
Okay.
Again, it's going to cost, you know. So, yeah. Yes.
Now, sometimes the city, like City Quail Valley, is on a moratorium.
Okay.
You can't build there. So, you can't. They're just, the perk is bad enough that they're contaminating the lake, Canyon Lake.
Okay.
And so they've done a moratorium, but they're going to connect sewer in 2019. So that'll be an area that literally goes from nothing to sewer.
So that's right around the corner.
It is pretty much, you know, in our world.
You've already waited.
I've owned it for a decade. Might as well keep it for a couple more. Now, that's a good area to do a mailer.
There you go.
anyway. Paved or dirt road?
Well, there's pros and cons on that as well.
But, you know, we've built a couple. Remember, that was one of the things I went out and saw.
You were a little uncomfortable about that. It's like,
part of it is the unknowns is, okay, what do we have to do? We have to pave this thing?
No,
I mean,
no. And as far as bringing in the utilities when you don't have asphalt, that is an easier process. When you have paved road and you're having to bring in the utilities, it gets very expensive.
Yeah.
So that's one of the good things about that. There's also, you know, the buyers, there's a lot of people that live out in that area where they like, you know, the dirt road. They don't mind the dirt road, yes.
You know, that's the thing that you really have to, like, I don't know that you could, where we've done it, it's acceptable. You could do it in Norco. You could do it in Woodcrest.
Absolutely.
I don't know that you could do it in Temecula.
Temecula.
Well, maybe you could. Temecula is another one of those areas.
Right.
You probably could.
Right.
You just have a buyer that's got a certain mindset. What about water drainage?
Yes. What about it?
I mean, are you capable of looking at going, okay, we have a problem?
Oh, yes. Yes. Absolutely. Okay. Yes. And then if it's a problem, is there a solution? And so then you have to, usually I'll take a picture of the land and go talk to an engineer and say, hey, what's your opinion on, what's your take on this? And they'll tell you, you know, if there's a fix for water drainage or not.
Now, when wouldn't there be a fix?
Well, I haven't had an issue where there's no fix, but let's say if, you know, where are you going to direct the water? Or maybe there is a fix, there is a solution, but it can get costly.
It get too much expensive.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
And then it wouldn't make sense. So you just pass on that.
When you're dealing with infill lots, do a lot of these problems sort of, they're easier to solve or they're almost always already fixed?
If they're at the city level where you have curve and gutter, you almost... It's very rare to have a drainage issue.
Right.
But when you're at county, yes, you need to be careful with that. Some of the outskirt property.
What if the former owner on their own moved dirt around?
Yes, you'll have to recompact, get compaction test, stuff like that.
And that's it? Or is there times where they're just like, okay, you're kind of, this is a problem, and they're just not going to let you get to the finish line?
No. There's a solution.
Okay.
Again, you just have to have an engineer to certify the pad. And what they'll want you to do is probably remove the dirt or recompact the dirt, and they have to verify that it's been done correctly.
Okay, so grading permits. Yes. To get a grading permit, you need an engineer's
input. Yes, you need a input. You need a soils report. You need a grading. You need a grading plan. So yes, you need an engineer, and you need soils report.
Is there soil that doesn't cut it sometimes?
The quality of the soil, the condition of the soil determines the structural footings of the house.
Okay.
So if you have a soil, and it also, the soil will dictate how far you excavate. You could go down 3 feet and start compacting from 3 feet up, or you might have to go 6 feet and start compacting. So then, again, cost.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. I guess one of the things I'm trying to get at for people is to understand that you can't really know how your project's going to work out until you know all this stuff.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay. So when you, let's say, and we're interested in some lots starting yesterday, right?
Right. Yes.
What is the time frame for you to give us to say we're comfortable with the finish line being okay?
We really don't get 100% comfortable because there's a lot of unknown. For example, perk test. You have to do your perk test probably during escrow. Highly advisable that you do it during escrow.
Yeah.
Because if it doesn't perk, you need
you
to
don't
bail.
Want it. Yeah.
Yes, you need to bail.
Well, there's a lot of those categories actually where you'd like to bail if it doesn't
right.
going to work.
Secondly, get your soils report. What are you looking at?
When you describe the soils report, are you talking about environmental or are you just talking about quality of dirt?
Quality of dirt.
Do they do environmental to make sure there's nothing weird done on the land that you would have an issue with?
No, they don't, unless there's a red flag, unless there's the land use flagged it for some reason and you need there's probably unlawful waste or something like that, or dumping stuff you need to clean, and they'll let you know.
How about the level of the dirt as far as in access to the street? I remember this came up to me. First time I ever dealt with dirt was in Cathedral City, and we did a mailer, and we bought a lot of lots off a mailer, and way more than I could use. And then we got the bright idea of building on some and selling the other lots. And the ones we sold, we didn't ever understand that this would be a problem. When we got to the building, we found out we had lots that were too low.
Okay.
And you're going, okay, well, I only paid $3,000 for the lot and took me $9,000 of dirt to get to use it. And but you can also have it too high. So, that's all of your experience. You're taking for granted that, okay, this is an easy process because you've done it.
Right.
But there's a lot to look at and go, okay, well, you know what? I better get an expert, you know.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'd rather have the problem of the lot being too high than too low.
Okay.
When you're low and you've already built the house, when it rains, where is that water going to go?
Well, you've already built it, you said?
No, if you've already built
But, I mean, usually that's
part identified, of the process. Should be identified early on.
Right.
But if you missed it, then you have a house that sits really low. And you need to figure out what you're going to do with the rainwater.
Would the city actually allow that to occur? Not intentionally, but
intentionally.
They could not catch
that's
it
correct.
Either.
Yes,
that's it's correct. Their fault then.
It's the builders. It's the builder. Everybody, everything falls on the shoulder of the builder.
Yeah, I already knew the answer to that one. I didn't think it was going to be their fault.
Yeah.
We had an interesting situation in one of the homes that we built and successfully sold and made a profit on it. Blue rock.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah. Blue rock. What is blue rock, and how in the world would you find out that you had it?
Well, when we started digging and we hit this rock, and then you move that rock, and then there's five more. And the blue rock is it's harder than concrete. It is difficult to break.
Right. I mean, you're talking about you brought on like rock breaking equipment.
I found the guy that does rock cracking, they called it. But essentially, they drill a 2-inch hole about 5 feet deep, and they put a low charge explosive.
Yeah, we're blowing up rock in our neighborhood.
Was this the neighbor that had a problem with dust?
Maybe I shouldn't.
But what's funny about that is that we had to stop because of the noise complaints.
We had to stop because the neighbors didn't like that. So then I found a
flying over their house.
I found a different solution.
Yeah,
and which was pretty cool. It's a powder. It's the same process. You drill the hole and you put a powder, and that powder expands, and it cracks the rock. And so all we're trying to do is make the rock smaller, and, you know,
so
we can move it.
Yeah,
because they're heavy. You can't fit them in a truck when they're too big.
So that's what ended up happening, is that you did that, and then we had somebody that needed the rock.
Yes, and
for
then
a project somewhere,
and then we transported it at our expense. So we broke it at our expense. We transported it at our expense, and we gave it away to get rid of it.
One of the reasons I wanted to bring that up is because you have one side of the responsibility and I have the other in our arrangement. Yes. I put up money, you do all the other stuff.
Correct.
If you're on the money side, you've got to expect that there's going to be surprises in a project.
Right.
100% of the time, there's going to be something that you're not going to have found out. And you just have to go with the flow and go to solution mode. I mean, that's what you and I basically do. Okay,
right.
We've got this. We've never had... like, why didn't you check it and all that? That's nonsense. Okay,
right.
It's going to happen. So let's solve it. So that's if you're going to partner with somebody that's a builder, realize that as good as they are, they're going to get surprises.
And
you got to go
to
solution
right.
mode.
Absolutely.
You know, if you're going to be a good partner with somebody, just go get on their side of the table and let's just solve it. I mean, if it's checks that we have to write or whatever, it's just really stupid and wasteful to get into, it's not my fault, I'm not going to write a check or whatever. That's just crazy.
It's not productive.
No, and you're not going to ever do stuff again. You know?
Right.
So
yeah.
I like working with you. I really do. But
thank you.
We've had those surprises, and you just go, you know, there's not anything to do but solve it. And I don't see too many partnerships like that sometimes. You know, you see it get pretty combative, and you're just like, what a waste. Protected species. I mean, there's areas that are definitely known for that. I don't know. What does Riverside protect? Do we have any of those?
Riverside has the kangaroo rat, and they also have the burrowing owl and
okay.
some other stuff that they have. I know the outskirts of Paris has the burrowing owl. And
where do you find that information out?
The county. You go to land use, and they will give you a list of requirements, and they'll identify whether that is in the zone of the kangaroo rat, which most all of the land is, and then additional endangered species.
So you have to, if you're building in the city of Riverside, you still need to go to the county and find that out, infill?
No, the city of Riverside has their own department, and the county has their own department. Now, the beautiful thing about the city of Riverside is that they have recently consolidated their departments. You go to the city of Riverside, third floor, and you'll have all the departments on one floor, and that's wonderful. Well, almost all of the departments. There's two or three that are not there. The county is a different story. You have to go to six, seven different buildings. You have to go across town, and yeah, you have to figure it out. You just have to ask questions. You have to ask questions and make sure you're satisfied.
When you ask questions, how are you? Is there any assurance that the person answering has the right to say it, or that even knows what they're talking about?
No and no.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
So a lot of times when you ask the question and you don't feel comfortable with the answer, you have to challenge it. But you have to be careful. Because they have a lot
deal
of
with these people.
Yes,
for
exactly.
6 months.
Exactly.
You want them to go, oh, Alex Thrott is here. That's good.
Oh yeah.
And he's not. And that's not a joke, man.
Yes. If you're a headache, you know, you've sat there for 30 minutes waiting your turn, and then it's your turn, and all of a sudden, you know, they go to lunch.
Yeah.
Because they don't want to deal with you.
Exactly.
Yeah. But
that's so funny you say that. I was sitting there. This was in Norco. It's funny, but I really was. I was sitting there waiting my turn, and it got to 12:01. The guy was waiting. He's back for a third time to get a patio approved. Okay. Stinking slab of
that
concrete.
Sounds like Norco.
And he went, he had an attitude, And the lady, the person you need is out to lunch. And the lady was still sitting there, but it was 12:01. So officially the lunchtime had happened.
Yeah. And that's,
I'm sure that was well received.
Oh yeah. He stormed out of there and it's just, yeah. But you know what? They enjoy it. It's like,
yeah. So, you know, when you're dealing with, these people from these departments, it's always nice to be courteous and polite and, you know, you'll get further that way.
When you go through all this, this stuff, there's still other things. And, you know, we've run across some, but what do you do to check for crime in the area or some specific things that could be, you know, in your neighborhood that you wouldn't say, oh gosh, you know, I really don't want to deal with that.
Yes.
You have to do that as well.
Good question. Usually there's disclosures in during the purchase process. There's the Megan's Law and then there's the neighborhood, different, but they have disclosures when you're going through the purchase contract and stuff like that. Now we had that incident where, one of the neighbors was on one of those lists and it didn't trigger. Apparently after we did some research, we found out that the crime or the incident had been committed like 25 years back and in a different area. So they weren't flagged. So we didn't catch it.
Right.
Right.
Right. But there's still, even after all that, you know, you still want to look at those, some specific things that you go, right. Okay, that could be a problem of in a disclosure if you're going to sell a house.
But if you go to Megan's Law and you put the address and it'll give you the flags identifying every offender, and they're everywhere, you know. It's very difficult not to see one of those flags pop up.
Okay.
You'd be surprised.
I would have never even thought of looking at that. And those disclosures comes up when you're buying the land?
When you're buying the land, or you're buying, yes, when you're buying the land, they'll give you those disclosures.
Hmm. Okay. When you have repetitive house plans that you use, does that make it at least easier to get through the city? I mean, aren't they already approved?
The city of Riverside does give you a repetitive plan credit.
Okay.
Where they charge you, I believe it's 50%.
Okay.
But the
it's
county,
also quicker, right?
It can be quicker.
Not
guaranteed.
Okay.
The county does not recognize that. They'll charge what it is.
And do it from scratch, just like it wasn't there before?
Absolutely, yes.
Wow. Okay. How long is plan check now in Riverside City?
Riverside City, you're looking at about 30 days or so for the first revision. What happens is they take it and it goes to different departments. It goes to building and safety, planning, electrical department, fire department, and they all have their input. Then you get it back. You get your red lines back. You take that to the engineer or the draft man or whatever you need to fix, they will take about 20 or 30 days as well. So then you bring it back to the city or wherever it needs to be returned to. And then it's round two, you know, and
it goes through
the revision.
Yeah.
Are you allowed to start on any phase of the project? Like say the foundation they found is fine. Can you start on that?
No, no, not at all.
And only that, I mean, think about it as a lender. See, we won't even do a loan until a permit's been attained. And that's why.
Right.
Because until then,
you could be in revision for years.
The other thing is you can't touch the ground without having title issue.
Exactly.
We want a first trustee, but as soon as he touches the ground, there's a lien that has a superior right to our trustee because of contractor lien rules.
Exactly.
So that's one of the things that we have to be careful of is that you can't say, well, we have those times will come, somebody will say, okay, well, there's a home that's 3/4 done and I want to get a hard money loan on it to get it finished. Well, that's a challenge because almost everybody on the project probably didn't get paid.
Right. Why are they selling an unfinished
home? You could have a 10th instead of a 1st.
Right.
So that would be a problem.
That's all the time we have for this second show, unfortunately, and we've gone over per usual, but if you're a premium subscriber to the Norris Group, you can always log into the web portal, and this will be under the construction chapter.
For more information on hard money loans and upcoming events with the Norris Group, check out thenorrisgroup.com. For information on passive investing with trust deeds, visit tngtrustdeeds.com.